Wednesday, we began Lent. And we who have been baptized into Jesus Christ are called to live a life in union with Him. It wasn't that long ago that we celebrated Christmas. And we celebrated the Incarnation when we called Jesus Christ Emmanuel, God with us. And we know that He desires to live His life with us, to live a life united with our lives, to be with us in all things. And so, during this season of Lent, we are given these 40 days for us to be with Jesus. And we see that He goes out into the desert to be tempted by Satan for 40 days. And so, you and I are called to go and do battle, spiritual battle, for the next, well, not yet, I guess a little less than 40 days. For the next 36 days that are left in this season of Lent. But we could add some Sundays, so it's probably about 42 left. 41, I don't know. I haven't done the math. But to do spiritual battle, just as Jesus did. Are you ready? Are you ready to triumph over Satan? Are you ready to not fall into the pattern of sin that we saw in that book of Genesis, that story of Adam and Eve? Are you ready to be different? Because certainly that is what it is all about. We remember that in His infinite love, God created man. Out of the superabundance of His love, He said, "This is all very good. But let us make man in our image." And in the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created him. And when He looked at all that He had made, the Lord God looked at it and said, "This is very good." And it reflects, then, my love. For in Jesus Christ, we learned just who God is. That He is a communion of persons. Three persons constantly loving each other. Called to communion. And so when He looked at man and He saw a man made in His image was all by himself, was alone, He said, "This is not good." And so He created Eve so that mankind in His very nature could reflect a communion of persons. Called to be in relationship. Called to be in mutual love. Total self-gift, one to the other and the other to the one. So that man could reflect Jesus and His life of the Trinity. Father loving the Son. Son loving the Father. The Holy Spirit, the love between the Father and the Son. And there they were. Created in that original goodness. In that original holiness. At the end of chapter 2 it says, they were naked yet they were unashamed. They were so living that life of holiness, living that life of reflecting the Trinity. And yet we see the original temptation. And St. Augustine, in reflecting upon this story of the fall, says one of the things that Adam did wrong, one of the ways in which he failed, is that he looked at what Eve had done. He watched as Eve entered into sin, eating the apple. And he said, "I'm going to be in communion with the sin rather than being in communion with God." He forsook, he let go of being in communion with God so as to be in communion with sin. And you and I, St. Augustine says, face the same temptation. We think, out of a false sense of mercy or a false sense of compassion, that we're going to be accepting of sin. And St. Augustine, in reflecting on this original sin, says there needed to be a third way. Not that Adam should have pulled away from Eve and said, "Well, I have nothing to do with you now, you're a sinner." And do we all not know people who do that? We remember not, maybe it's not so much in your minds, but I've never been able to shake it from my memory, the story that Father Saunders shared about that family whom he knew when he was the dean over at Notre Dame, Marymount University, who, when their daughter said she was pregnant, they said, "Get out of the house." It's stuck in my memory. How that is so easy for us, is it not? To, when we see sin, to say, "Get out. I want nothing to do with you." But we also know how easy it is when we see sin to say, I'm just going to be in communion with the sin. We think perhaps when the child comes, the young boy says, I'm gay. The one side says, get out of the house, I want nothing to do with you. The other side, that misguided mercy, says, it's okay, whatever you want is fine. I love you, it's all good. Neither one, St. Augustine says, is where we're called to be. Looking at this original sin, St. Augustine says there needed to be a third way. And we see that third way in Jesus Christ, who goes out into the desert, who is the new Adam, who looks sin in the face, and he doesn't call it okay, but he destroys it, who conquers the sin, nails it to the cross. St. Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, says that he obliterates the sin. He doesn't ignore it and say, get away from me. No, he takes our human nature to himself. He takes on all that it means to be human, even the temptations. And he destroys it. He shows us, you and I, a third way. Not to have a misguided sense of compassion, a false mercy. Not to have a strict justice that refuses to have anything to do with sin, but to have an authentic self-sacrificing love. And this is not a Friday Mass homily with volunteers from the audience. This is a self-sacrificing love that says, I will lay down my life. I will get between my beloved and sin, and I will destroy it. To do so requires you and I to be with Jesus on the cross. To do that authentic love, not a misguided love that costs us nothing, not a misguided justice that is so easy, but an authentic love, an authentic justice that says sin is sin and remains sin, but says that love conquers sin, requires that you and I get on the cross, requires that you and I give completely of ourselves until there's nothing left ungiven. Laying down our lives, sacrificing ourselves for the good of the other. We see this in the lives of the saints, do we not? We can see how men and women throughout the ages have done this. And we see this in our own day and age, do we not? Do we not see the goodness? This is what Jesus Christ has come to give us. And so we want, during the season of Lent, to commit ourselves to that third way. To commit ourselves to being with Jesus, who comes to be with us, to strengthen us in holiness, to strengthen us with His grace, so that we too can be more than conquerors. So that you and I can be the saints whom He has called us to be. And so let us commit ourselves even during this Mass to being with Jesus. And ask Him to show us where, specifically, in our life, tonight, tomorrow, in the days ahead, He's asking us to give until it hurts. Where in our life He's asking us to choose a third way of authentic self-sacrifice for the salvation of our souls, for the good of another, so that His life, His holiness, His grace, can continue to penetrate through our hearts into the darkness of the world in which we live.